The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 1, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on January 10th, 2018, in Toronto, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Rishabha Uvacha.
Rishabha Uvacha.
Na.
Na.
Ayam.
Ayam.
Deha.
Deha.
Deha Bhajam. Naloke Kashtan Kaman Arhate Vitbujam Ye Tapa Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam Shujit Yasmat Brahmasaukyam Tu Anantam Rishabha Uvacha. Nayang Deho Deha Bhajang Naloke.
Nayang Deho Deha Bhajang Naloke.
Kashtan Kaman Arhate Vidbujam Ye. Tapo Divyam Prutaka Yena Satvam. Shudya Yasmad Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. Rishabha Uvacha. Nayang Deho Deha Bhajang Naloke. Kashtan Kaman Arhate Vidbujam Ye. Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam. Shudya Yasmad Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. Rishabha Uvacha. Lord Rishabhadev said, Na, not, ayam, this, deha, body, deha bhajam, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies, naloke, in this world, Kashtan, troublesome. Kaman, sense gratification. Arhate, deserves. Vitbujam, of stool eaters. Yea, which, tapa, austerities and penances. Divyam, divine. Putraka, my dear sons. Yena, by which, Satvam, the heart, Shujyat, becomes purified. Yasmad, from which, Brahmasaukhyam, spiritual happiness, to, certainly, Anantam, unending. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vrishabhadev told his sons, My dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. Report. In this verse, Lord Vrishabhadev tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word dehabak refers to anyone who accepts a material body, but the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like hogs and dogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which is suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness. As long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in the cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or a dog. The instructions of Vishabhadeva are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5, and then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. Yan maitanadi griyam edi sukham mitu cham. Vrishabhadeva clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking to bhakti yoga devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma tame divyam evang yo vatitatvataha chaktadehang punar janma. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, here we're learning that one should voluntarily accept suffering to achieve the divine happiness. Why is it described as suffering? One could ask. Well, this is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Happiness in the mode of goodness is suffering in the beginning and nectar in the end. However, if one can immediately come to the transcendental platform, it's not suffering. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can immediately taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Even in the beginning stages, when it's austere, rising early in the morning, etc., if one is fully accepting the mercy of the spiritual master and embracing it with great enthusiasm, that even the suffering is not really suffering, it's ecstatic. In other words, Krishna consciousness is actually ecstatic 24 hours a day. If we're actually Krishna conscious, then we're relishing the sweetest bliss in all times, places, and circumstances. And if we're not, we're just not Krishna conscious. We could be sattvic, which is a platform from which to come to the transcendental platform. So it's not that, well, if I'm not always feeling blissful in the beginning, I should give it up. No, I have to understand there's some learning and growing period in the beginning when I learn how to go beyond the modes of nature, completely the transcendental platform. But the actual process is pure nectar from the very beginning. So if we embrace completely the process of full surrender to Guru and Krishna within the heart, taking it as our very life and soul, the very essence of our existence, then even the very beginning we can relish the greatest happiness, the greatest bliss. I remember Vishnujan Swami, when he was preaching, he used to us in the beginning, he would say, just give your love to Krishna. And he made it blissful from the very beginning. It wasn't some painful thing having to get up early in the morning. It was an exciting adventure. So if we're in the mode of goodness and not transcendental, it will be in the beginning a suffering condition. But to the extent that we can actually learn to enter into that transcendental mood from the very beginning by having full faith in the words of Guru and Krishna and then following strictly the words of Guru and Krishna with full sincerity, determination, and enthusiasm, then we can feel the bliss in the very beginning also. Actually, if it wasn't for tasting that bliss in the beginning, how would we come to it? How would we even take it? We're enjoyers by nature, isn't it? So if there wasn't some taste, some higher taste, even in the very beginning, how could we come to this platform? Because we have our cookbook, the higher taste. So prasadam is certainly a higher taste. I remember when I in Austin, Vishnujan Swami was giving out Simply Wonderfuls, and one boy ate about 25 or 30 and immediately surrendered. So it's actually not really difficult to become Krishna conscious. If we think it's difficult, that is a difficulty. You see, that is a difficulty is we think is a difficulty. When you realize it's not really a difficulty, it's just pure nectar, and you dive into it with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience, then you can relish the sweetest happiness from day one. You don't have to wait for going back to Godhead to taste the nectar. You can taste it right here, right now. Our philosophy is taste nectar, actually. Taste nectar right here, right now, by seriously embracing this process within your heart of hearts, that now I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and therefore I have no business, no duty, no other obligation except to please Him by my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. If one takes this mood and tightly embraces it within one's heart, then the material nature will not be able to pinch you. You will become transcendental to the material nature. Even from the very beginning, you'll be transcendental to the material nature. So this art we must learn as soon as possible, because this will bring us to the platform of transcendental bliss, which we need to come to in order to be able to fully embrace this process and diving deeply, deeply, unlimitedly into it. So we really need to have that full faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, because by that full faith we'll actually enter into that dimension of pure transcendental bliss. Quite a nice purport here. Prabhupada is giving so many different informations. Human life is meant for voluntarily practicing suffering. In other words, that suffering means that your senses want to enjoy something, but you say no. You see, you tell me you want to eat something, you say no. Your genitals made to enjoy something, you say no. You say no to the senses. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. You say, okay, senses, from now on we only have one business, and that is engaged in Krishna service. So the senses may protest, but. And you say, no, I'm sorry. Sorry, senses. From now on it's just Krishna service. So once the senses back off and say, okay, I trust you, I'll go along with you, then it becomes ecstatic. But in the beginning, there's some turmoil. I want this, but I can't have it. Why can't I have it? I want it. Blah, 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 like that. So one just has to, you know, be very strong, like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said, in the morning you beat your mind with shoes 100 times, in the evening 100 times with a broomstick. Say, okay, rascal, no more lusty thoughts, no more checking out the girls when you're walking down the street. That our only business now is Krishna consciousness, you see. You just have to remember, I have nothing to do with this material body except to use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, it has no meaning. Otherwise, it's to use this body in the service, to engage myself in serving the senses of this body without Krishna consciousness is suicide. It's just sheer suicide. It's all it is. I'm condemning myself to go back down to the animal species. I've been an animal in my previous lifetimes. Like we see the squirrel out here running around the snow. We were squirrels running around in the snow in a previous lifetime, isn't it? So if you don't engage your senses in Krishna's service, you can go back out there and be a squirrel running around in the snow. Is that what you want? You see? You've gotten this human body. It's a very, 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 very rare opportunity to get out of the cycle of birth and death, to regain your original identity. Why would you want to be a pauper when you're actually a millionaire? You see what I'm saying? You have unlimited wealth, unlimited opulence. From one who remembers Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer, there is victory, extraordinary power, opulence, and morality. Everything is there, you see. Everything is there. It's a position greater than Lord Brahma, the Lord of the whole material universe, to be one of the associates of a Lord in the spiritual sky. So why would you cheat yourself going on running after the senses? Is there any sense in that? Running, running, running like a dog after the she-dog? Does it make any sense? It's just sheer madness. It's insanity. Well, the trouble is we're living in a culture. Everybody's going after it, you see. Everybody's running after a new car, a new house, putting, you know, a new extent. You know, everybody wants to get their big mansion to live in, the fanciest car, the best clothes, you know, all this paraphernalia. Just want to go on expanding their paraphernalia. Meanwhile, people in the world are going hungry, they're starving to death, and we're eating ourselves into obesity here in the Western countries, you see. Not giving a damn about the people who are starving to death right now in Africa. We're just becoming big, fatty, overweight, unhealthy people. You see, it's so much out of balance because we're not seeing who's the actual proprietor. You understand my point? We're not seeing the actual proprietor. Bhoktadam jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shandam rishtati. We're not seeing the actual proprietor. We have to go deeper, deeper, deeper into our actual identities beyond these material bodies. It's very, very essential. We have to go deeper, deeper, deeper into understanding Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So we have to have full faith in these statements of the great acharyas and the shastras. We followed the Rakshasas for millions of lifetimes, and where did it get us? Another material body, another rotting hulk. Instead of following these crazy, misguided so-called leaders, we should actually hear from the genuine leaders. Though the genuine leaders are those who can liberate us from this material existence, the great acharyas. They are, in factually, the genuine leaders. So from them we should be taking lesson. The acharyas and those who are strictly following in the footsteps of the acharyas, those people can actually liberate us from this material existence. They can liberate us from all misery, all confusion, all delusion that we're experiencing in profusion. We have to become intelligent enough to hear from the proper source, to hear from those persons who can actually liberate us from this material existence, and stop listening to our rascal minds, which have kept us entangled in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes. So who do you want to listen to? You want to listen to somebody who's going to keep you entangled in the miserable birth and death cycle? You want to hear somebody who's going to liberate you back to your eternal constitutional position, full of knowledge and full of bliss, as an eternal associate of the Lord in his transcendental pastimes? Who do you want to listen to? You want to listen to a fool and rascal, or you want to listen to an enlightened soul? Enlightened soul, you see. It's your choice. You can hear whatever you want to. But the intelligent person hears from that place, from that person, whose teachings will actually liberate him from this material existence. The fact is, the words of the bona fide spiritual master are like an airplane. And if you absorb yourself in those words and you follow those words, they will actually uplift you from this material existence and carry you. They have wings. Those vibrations of the spiritual bona fide guru have wings, which will actually carry you back to the spiritual world if you absorb yourself in hearing, remembering, and serving the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. So this is how we became liberated from the material life, by serving the words of this great Acharya Srila Prabhupada, and now it is our mission that we must spread this to all the living entities. Prabhupada explains how this Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver the entire human society back to home, back to Godhead. So this is our mission, you see. It's not that we don't want to sit comfortably in our temples, stuffing ourselves with glob jamuns. You know, we can have some glob jamuns, our mission is to get out there and save the world, distribute books, Harinam Sankirtan, cultivation programs, all kinds of things we can do to attract people to come to Krishna consciousness. It's our duty actually to save the world. Prabhupada said, become guru and deliver the world. That's a direct order from Prabhupada. So we have to really think, what can I do to make the world Krishna conscious? How can I live my life in such a way to uplift the consciousness of this entire global civilization, or you could say lack of civilization? How to bring actual civilization to this place, but there is no civilization. What's civil about it? They're killing the cows, they're killing the babies. How you can even call it civilization? There's nothing civil about it. It's a non-civilization, you see. It's not civil. They're not acting in a civil way. They're acting in a very grotesque, crude, low-class way right now. The so-called polished leaders are actually rascals and fools. Shvavidvara ustra karai sangstitak parishak pushu najatak varma pato peto jatanam agadagra jaha. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So Prabhupada says, when the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses go to the polling station to vote, who will they elect? A big dog, a big hog, a big camel, and a big ass. So that's the caliber of leadership we have in the world today. Dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. It's a fact. So the mission of our movement, one of the missions, is that we should have enlightened Krishna conscious leadership in every position. High court judges, prime ministers, senators, congressmen, they should all be Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas, who are purely dedicated to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the upliftment of the human society, bringing everyone back to their original identities as Krishna's eternal servants. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Yes?
Srila Gurudev, I have a question about the voluntary suffering.
Yeah.
So, Krishna describes austerities that are in the mode of ignorance in the Bhagavad Gita. And also there are many traditions around the world where the austerities that they practice appear to be extreme. So, for example, for a beginner in Krishna consciousness, waking up early might be a bit too extreme. What's the need to do this? But there are people like some of the Goswamis who basically drink a cup of buttermilk every day. So that austerity might appear extreme. Now my question is, how can we understand for ourselves, not for somebody else, where to draw the line between, hey, I'm basically punishing the super soul within my heart by doing this?
No, you don't punish the supas. Well, you get up early to go to work, isn't it? So why don't you just get up a little earlier to get liberated? This isn't, you know, instead of staying up late night watching television, the late movie, and getting up at the last minute to go to work, why don't you, forget about the late night movie and have the early morning movie, Krishna, 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 Krishna. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a matter. It's not really that difficult. It's just a matter of realigning your priorities. That's all.
Well, I mean. I'm talking about austerities, like there are traditions in which people wear a vest of thorns, or people basically fast.
Or lay on a bed of nails.
Exactly. Or you know, they will basically say, I will not sleep at all. Or, you know, but there are people who never, almost never slept, like Haridas Thakur almost did not sleep.
We don't have to imitate these Vedacharyas. We can take 6 or 7 hours. Prabhupada even said 8 hours one time. We can take,
any austerities done in the life which doesn't benefit, which is temporary, is austerity in the mode of ignorance. And we are all doing that austerities a lot, and we think that we are doing great. That's another ignorance. For we do it for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
Prabhupada gives example, 3 hours, spending 3 hours commuting, getting to work, 3 hours back. That's his austerity and
then,
working.
Actually, we find austerity which is in the goodness, which is benefit, which is an eternal benefit. We think it's an austerity, extreme.
We're doing austerities anyway. Why not do them for the ultimate goal?
That's what we are missing.
Everybody's doing some austerities, just to work a job, just to go to schools in austerity, doing all the homework. If you're doing austerities anyway, why not do those austerities? They're going to liberate you. Instead of doing those austerities, they're going to keep you entangled. It's just a matter of common sense, really.
It's depend on what you understand the austerity benefits.
What's the difficulty? Going to bed a little earlier and getting up a little earlier. It's not really difficult. We may think it's difficult, but actually it's not difficult. Rising early is a very ecstatic thing. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, Benjamin Franklin said. Prabhupada put it. It's ecstatic to rise early in the morning. Be able to go deeply into Nama Ruchi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Practically, it's sense gratification. It's so ecstatic. Transcendental sense gratification. Go deep, deep, deep into the ocean. The surfers like to, they go take their surfboards, they go out to, you know, surf spots like in Australia and California and surf. But we're also surfing. This is our surfboard. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a very ecstatic thing, actually, to take this mantra very seriously and absorb oneself in this. Praying to Krishna, begging Radharani and Krishna, please, please, please engage me in devotional service. Anything else?
Isn't that we are so much engrossed in sense gratification, any uplifting things that we may have to do is an austerity. Time immemorial, we have been into sense gratification. Then anything, like we have been so sick, so to take even medicine is austerity. But that's the only cure.
Well, I'm talking about the other side, really. I'm talking about how do I know if I am not going, if I'm going too far with something.
If it interferes with your Krishna consciousness,
that's the
easy rule of thumb. You accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject whatever is unfavorable. That's a simple thing. Something helps you to be going to Krishna consciousness, you do it. Let's say you're trying to get by with 2 hours sleep at night because you want to read the whole Bhagavatam in the next 3 months. So you just want to sleep for 2 hours a day and you can't function on 2 hours. So that's artificial, you see. But if you can get by on five, if you're doing 6 hours a day for the last 10, 20 years and you can reduce to five and still be in good shape, why not? You see, you have to just judge by the result. If you can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and chant all your rounds before Mangal Arati and then and do deity worship during the Brahma Muhurta, and why not? If you can do that. If you find that after many years of practice you can do extra, do what new devotees can't do, then why not do it? Why not? Why put a limit on yourself? You have to just see what you can, you see what's favorable for your own Krishna consciousness and do them. What is the difficulty?
Some might think that chanting my japa and watching the television is my favorite.
My favorite show? Watching Howdy Doody Time on television.
Yeah,
it's Howdy Doody Time. It isn't worth a dime.
That's favorable to my Krishna consciousness. That's how I can chant my japa.
Chant my japa by watching television. That way I can stay awake while chanting my rounds. Watching some old West movies, you know. Gunsmoke. All right, you know.
Because it gives me awake and I can concentrate.
Kind of concentrate a little bit. A little bit. Why don't you watch a better TV show? That's what I would say. Like Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate TV show. By chanting Hare Krishna, you're actually turning on... Why turn on a mundane television? But if you actually dive deep into the Nama, you're turning on a mystic television within your heart. You actually see Krishna's pastimes going on 24 hours a day and actually jump into them and be with them, be a part of them. The Hare Krishna mantra will allow you to turn on a mystic television where you can actually jump through the screen and be in there, a part of it. That's where the mantra will take you eventually. You understand that? I mean, this is the best television set. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You actually jump through the screen and be in the show eventually when you reach the perfectional stage. That's... No TV show you can watch here in this world, but you can jump through the screen and be a part of it. It was only a fake then anyway. It's not real. Of course, sometimes they have reality things. They show real things, but still, it's all within the material world. But this, everyone's getting old and dying. Everyone you see on the television is getting sick and old and dying. But this TV program, Goloka Vrindavan, they're eternal youths. So why not? We just say flip your channel to a better program. That's all we really say.
But I'm just thinking, not only television, on the other side, I put on a lecture of my favorite...
My favorite Bhagavatam or my favorite Kirtan tape.
Yeah,
while I'm chanting around.
So is that you consider...
Well, you're improving a little bit. We have to admit you did improve a little bit by putting something transcendental on while you're chanting in japa. But actually, still, you haven't learned how to meditate because when you properly chant Hare Krishna, you don't need some extra thing like hearing a lecture or hearing a fired-up kirtan. The name itself has everything. Of course, we can say that, but it's not always easy. Even after many years of chanting, we still may have difficulty, you know, fully diving into the name. But we understand the name has everything we need. There's unlimited nectar in these two syllables. You cannot measure, just like that prayer by Rupa Goswami, you see. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar coming out of Krishna, I need millions of mouths. And when that Krishna enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar, I can't catch it all with 2 ears, therefore I need millions and billions of ears to capture that nectar. So that's actually the position. We have to understand that, even though we're not tasting it yet, we have to philosophically understand, this is what's available for me, now let me go deeper, 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 deeper in the Namaruchi. If you understand that, you have that philosophical understanding, and you pursue it with great determination, I must achieve it. Krishna, please, my dear Lord Krishna, please bless me, I can actually achieve Sudanam as soon as possible. You see, if you realize what's out there waiting for you, and you beg for it, you endeavor for it, then you'll be really, every day will be a blissful day, a blissful thing of, progress towards the ultimate gold mine of pure love of God. Like a prospector, an enthusiastic prospector who found out where the gold mine is, now he's going for it with great enthusiasm. You see.
So, to understand what is favorable and what is not favorable, how are you going to measure it?
Well, the spiritual master is there, advanced devotees are there, and your own experience is there. And Prabhupada's books are there. You have to read and see what is actually favorable and what is unfavorable.
Everything in the shastra is favorable for me, but I find it's extreme. Am I true?
Remembering Krishna is extreme. Chanting Hare Krishna is extreme. Satatam kirta yanto mam. What's extreme about going Hare Krishna? What's not extreme then? If even saying one time Hare Krishna is extreme, then what level do you want to practice on? Explain to me. You want to be in a tavern or a prostitute house having sex with a prostitute and thinking about Krishna? Is that what you, that's your idea of beginning Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada did say the wino drinking the wine, you think that the taste of the wine is Krishna, becomes the greatest yogi. Is that the level you want to practice? Go down to the tavern and say, the taste of the wine is Krishna. You can start on that level if you want. If you want, you can start on that level. That's something. The enjoyment I have with this prostitute is... Any Krishna consciousness is good, but the thing is, you need to perfect it. If you remain on a platform where you're mixing it with sense gratification, you're not going to be fully satisfied. You made a little progress, yes, you chanted Hare Krishna while you're having illicit sex, all right, but you made a little progress from your degraded platform, but you need to give up illicit sex altogether to actually achieve Krishna darshan within your heart, where you directly, as Prabhupada told me, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. If you want to come to that position where you can directly experience Krishna, you have to give up these attachments to liquor or sex life or whatever it may be, cigarettes, whatever it may be, hamburgers, whatever it may be. But in the beginning, he says Hare Krishna when he eats his hamburger, he's making some progress. Thank you, Krishna, for the hamburger.
I have a question about that, actually. We see the squirrels running around in the snow, and Rishabhadev is talking about the hogs who enjoy...
stool, eating stool.
Eating filthy stuff. And we are out on the street, we meet so many people who see no difficulty in all of that stuff. Like, they see no issue with all of that stuff. So... how can we pull a stool eater out and help them to see, look how dirty this is? How can we, they're right there at that level.
You explain that even though you may find it very enjoyable, it's only temporary because your body's getting sick, it's getting old, it's dying. A dying man is not going to be able to relish a hamburger, a beautiful girl. He's dying in great pain and suffering, leaving his body. Even if you find it enjoyable, it's even if you see that's enjoyable, it's only temporary. So why not go for it? Here is happiness, which is eternal, unlimitedly blissful. You want to enjoy life? Okay, here's how you can enjoy it unlimitedly. In all all times, all places, and circumstances. If you, my dear sir, if you analyze it very carefully, you'll have to admit you're not experiencing unlimited bliss at every minute, in all times, places, and circumstances. Sometimes up, sometimes down, you see. You have to admit you're not getting unlimited bliss at every minute from everything you do. But here is a science where even while you're engaged in your normal activities you're doing now, here's a science that you can taste unlimited bliss in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Not only unlimited, but ever increasingly unlimited bliss in all times, places, and circumstances. Why don't you try this? Because I guarantee it'll be the best thing you ever tried in your whole life. It'll be better than anything you ever had in your whole life. Just give it a try and you'll be absolutely amazed that how could I experience such bliss? I never knew such bliss was even available for me to taste. But now I'm tasting a pleasure I never even knew in my whole life. Just by connecting with Krishna, I'm tasting an inconceivably sublime pleasure, thousands of times greater than anything I ever relished. My most happy minute in the material life, it doesn't come close to this pleasure of Krishna consciousness. It works. Yeah, truth works. Yeah.
Sadhguru, recently I had interaction with my cousins, and they have their own concocted idea about, like, you know, what is their dharma, what is their prescribed duty, and what is bhakti. So, and they were, like, so strong about it, and I didn't exactly feel like debating with them, or, like, you know...
Why didn't you go ahead and defeat them? I mean, Sarvanaman Pradityaja. Do they accept the authority of Bhagavad Gita or not?
They accept the authority. Yeah.
Then Bhagavad Gita says, give up all duties, just surrender to me. Why don't you preach that verse to them? That's the whole essence of Gita. Sarvadharman Parityaja. Give up all these duties, Krishna orders. You think perfection of your life is doing this duty, that duty, 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 duty. This is nonsense. Krishna says, give it all up. Why aren't you following Krishna? Challenge them. Gotta be heavy. Preacher means heavy, you know. Guru means heavy. Lord Chaitanya ordered to become guru. That guru means heavy. You gotta be heavy sometimes. You can't just be a lightweight, a fluffy duff. If you wanna do your duty to please Lord Chaitanya, sometimes you have to be heavy. Prabhupada said, ask them what is their philosophy and then defeat them. That's what he told us to do. But do it in a nice way, of course. A loving way, you know, sweet, loving way. My dear relatives, just try to understand this point. And Krishna says to give up all duties.
Their material background is like so thick that, like, you know, for them to come to this platform is like, you know, it's very difficult.
Well, you just take them step by step, and little by little, as they say in Spanish, poco a poco, little by little. You see, just a little bit. Gradually, gradually, gradually bring them. Whatever you like to do, do it for Krishna. If you like to dance, dance for Krishna. You like to write, write for Krishna. Whatever you like to do it for Krishna, you see. Don't tell them to give up doing what they want to do. Tell them to do what you like to do for Krishna. Bring them gradually, you see. It's, what you're saying is absolutely true. In fact, Prabhupada even goes this far, which is one of the most mind-blowing statements in all of Prabhupada's books. He says, when one becomes a pure chanter of the holy names, he becomes Jagad Guru, and under his influence, the entire world becomes Krishna conscious. That's pretty amazing. So the point is that the more you yourself become purified, just by your mere presence in this world, you'll have an uplifting impact on this world, including your relatives, and anyone. Actually, everybody's your relatives. They're all your relatives here. Even the squirrel's your relative, is it? So you just have to strive for purity. That's why every day I beg for pure devotional service. That Krishna, please bless me that I can become your absolutely pure devotee, that my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances will be totally, completely pleasing to you. I'm begging every day, intensely begging Krishna for this, you see.
But then, when somebody becomes a pure devotee, everybody becomes enemy and crucify them. Then what to do?
That happens sometimes, they crucify. But a pure devotee is transcendental. Well, you know, Krishna wants to kill me, no, and he can protect me. All right, Krishna, you want to kill me right now? Go ahead, I'm ready, take me. If you want to protect me, whatever, I'm in your hands, my Lord, and your puppet. If you feel that killing me right now is the best thing for me and for the world, then go ahead, kill me right now, I'm ready. You see, the devotee doesn't care.
Isn't that what Jesus said when he was being crucified?
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. If you desire, remove this cup from me, but my Father, my will and not thy will. Thy will but not my will be done. It's also said, if you're not willing to die for a cause, if there's nothing you're willing to die for, you have really nothing to live for. Another statement, another famous quote. unless there's something you can die for, you really have no reason to live. If something is so important and so meaningful for you, you're willing to die for it, you see. Then your life has meaning. Otherwise, your life has no meaning. Unless there's something that is so valuable and so important and so precious that you would be willing to die for that thing. If you have that kind of dedication, then your life is very meaningful. Otherwise, your life has no meaning. We're willing to die for Krishna if he wants to kill us right now. My dear Krishna, I'm willing to die for you right now. If you want to kill me, I'm ready to go. You can kill me right now. You see, if one is willing to die for Krishna, then his life has unlimited meaning. Otherwise, if there's nothing you're willing to die for, you don't want to sacrifice for anything, you're just an animal. You have no purpose. You're just drifting aimlessly in sense gratification. Any other questions?
In the back, any questions?
From the cutting crew? I have to call India in 20 minutes. Maybe. I have an appointment to call India at 9:30. Are we done now?
Checking the questions.
Oh, questions coming in here. Okay. I didn't do it. Yeah, but the next class we can announce, yeah, but this one's too late. So is there anything else? That's my question. That's it? Do you all have any more questions? Everything clearly understood now? You have to fully absorb yourself in giving unlimited pleasure to Krishna with your every thought, your every word, your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. That is the perfection of your existence. You should be begging for it intensely every day. They may have me fully absorbed now in pleasing you, my dear Lord, with every thought that goes through my brain. May not have any thoughts which are not pleasing to you. May every thought be pleasing to you. Because when your thoughts are attuned, then your words will be attuned and your actions will be attuned. It really begins in the mind, you see. What is your mental cultivation?
They can't ask. I can't see.
They're not able to. Okay. All right then. Yeah, start meeting is different. We'll do start meeting. Those who are watching now, stay tuned for your emails. We're going to send a broadcast out about start meeting. If you're not signed up for the email course, just go to joinchorus.com and you'll get on the mailing list. So whenever we do a conference call like this, you'll get an email to let you know. So just go to www.joinchorus.com and get into the, you'll get a daily lesson every day, daily thought for the day, a weekly lesson. So take advantage of this and make your life sublime. Yeah, the other startmeeting.com allows you to ask questions also during the lectures. Anything else from the locals here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada? Okay.
Someone put a comment for you, Gurudev, from Leva. She is giving your pranams to yourself and your mother.
Our blessings to her. Anything else? That's it? Anything else? Okay. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Bhavapad Ki Jai.